Let them and their pet bumbler get fairly back on their way, was the boy's thinking. This wasn't the time to close the gap. Later, perhaps. Later, his white daddy would let down his guard, if only for a moment, and then Mordred would have him. For dinner, he hoped. But lunch or breakfast would do almost as well. When we last saw this fellow, he was only,
"Baby Bunting, baby dear, baby bring your berries here."
An infant. The creature standing beyond the gates of the Crimson King's castle had grown into a boy who looked about 9 years old. Not a handsome boy. Not the sort anyone, except for his lunatic mother, would have called comely. This had less to do with his complicated genetic inheritance than with plain starvation. The face beneath the dry spall of black hair was haggard and far too thin. The flesh beneath Mordred's blue bombardier's eyes was a discolored, pouchy purple. His complexion was a birdshot blast of sores and blemishes. These, like the pimple beside Susanna's mouth, could have been the result of his journey through the poisoned lands, but surely Mordred's diet had something to do with it. He could have stocked up on canned goods before setting out from the checkpoint beyond the tunnel's mouth. Roland and Susanna had left plenty behind, but he hadn't thought to do so. He was, as Roland knew, still learning the tricks of survival. The only thing Mordred had taken from the checkpoint Quonset was a rotting railway man's pillow-tick jacket and a pair of serviceable boots. Finding the boots was good fortune indeed, although they had mostly fallen apart as the trek continued. Had he been a Hume, or even a more ordinary were-creature, for that matter, Mordred would have died in the Badlands, coat or no coat, boots or no boots. Because he was what he was, he had called the rooks to him when he was hungry, and the rooks had no choice but to come.